Tuesday edition. Remember the time that Tausch said, Dame time, became a GIF. Could Dame time already be over if the Bucks lose in the first round? Edition. I don't remember the last time we did Power Rankings Tuesday edition, but we're doing Power Rankings Tuesday edition. And the scheduled to appear. It's usually, is this usually his day? Is he back on his day? You hear him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin and across ESPN Radio. Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer, who I'm making yawn already. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I did not get a speeding ticket yesterday, which was a win for me. Hey, refresh my memory. Didn't we have a what-would-you-do type question a while back about how fast you're supposed to drive when you're being followed by a law enforcement official? Am I misremembering that?
That sounds like something we may have talked about, yeah.
So yesterday I was driving on 172 and there was a Brown County sheriff behind me. I was actually talking to Kyle Bruston Nortman at the time. And I was coming up on that portion where once upon a time there was a Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin billboard that had Tausch on it with Gene Adella. Gene Adella's by herself now. And she's doing some things, from what I understand. Sleek. She looks great.
Billboard she does?
She looks fantastic.
Oh, great.
Really does. Whatever she's doing, you and I should try. But it goes from 65 to 55. And so I'm going to drop down from 70. And I look up in my rearview mirror as the 55 sign is approaching. And there is a law enforcement official right on my keister. But of course, like, do I keep going fast? And I really, as much as I think it would have been good content for me to get pulled over during a Kyle Bruston Nortman appearance, I slowed down, right? I slowed down. Now, I did slow down to 60 in the 55, but I think I irritated him because then I moved over to the right and he accelerated. He didn't have the lights on. He wasn't going to a crime scene, but he sped up. And, like, then he was going 70 in the 55. He could do that. He's a law enforcement official. But, like, I think I pissed him off by slowing down. Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know the correct
protocol.
I don't know what the right speed is. I think if you're in front of a cop, you should drive the exact number. I don't think you should go any faster.
In front of?
Yeah. If you're behind him, you can go as fast as he's going. If he's going 66, you can go 64.
See, wouldn't he notice more if like the cop is going 73 on a 70 and you speed past him?
Well, you think he's entrapping you?
Wouldn't you think
well,
he's
going to
know?
Well, I wouldn't speed past him.
Because that's the one that always gets me the most, is if I'm going past the cop. Like, then I got to like really watch where I'm at.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're in front of the cop already, they're not going to really pay attention if you're going 73 or 77. Like,
well,
you're in front of them
already. The story
was
Jason is in front of the cop.
Yes.
The cop is right
behind
him.
This is the information I'm looking for.
That's, yeah. I'm saying you drive the exact speed limit.
Okay.
Now, the question is, if the cop is going 55 and it's a two-lane deal and you're behind him and you can't really, you don't, nobody drives 55.
As Sammy Hagar taught us, yes.
Get over in the left lane. How fast can you go to pull in front of the cop? Can you go up? I would feel comfortable going to 60 and then pulling in front and having a 60-55 buffer. And okay, if he wants to pull me over for 5, so be it. But I don't think he can go any faster because realistically, if you're five plus over, he can hammer you. He can get you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to also be slowing down traffic. So hopefully, usually what these cops do is they see this and they say, well, I'm messing up traffic flow. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Oh, you think that's what he did?
Yeah, I think he's probably annoyed with you too. But yeah.
Well, I was looking for your insight on that, because if anyone knows how annoying I can be, that'd be you. You would know. You know very well how annoying I can be. All right. As much as I'd love to talk about this, I brought something to the show, and I think it went about as well as I expected it to. So.
What did you? I'm confused. I answered.
Don't be confused. You answered it great. It wasn't that good. That's not you. That's me. Every time I try this, I don't feel like I'm very good at it. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I think this is the Leon method where you just don't have to do it. What were you trying to accomplish by bringing this?
I just wanted your insight.
I gave it to you. What's your insight?
You did.
You were there.
My insight is I think I irritated him, and I think I slowed down more than I should have, even though it dropped from 65 to 55. That was my lesson. If you're going to be irritated by anything, I would be irritated by something that I saw yesterday. And this was making the rounds yesterday. I don't know why. It still continues to get traction. I don't know what the number is at. But the Rob Domofsky stuff, every show that I did, the Rob Domofsky center move discussion was part of it. And you know how I feel about aggregation, because I've gotten swept up in that wave frequently, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it really benefited us in this instance. I think there was a lot of clicking, and a lot of people got content out of it and discussion out of it.
Yeah, but there's different kinds of clicks and aggregating and everything else. This is a super interesting thing, and you mm-hmm. said this wasn't the first time Rob said this, but I think when you look at things and understand what Green Bay is looking at draft-wise, you have to plan. So for as much as Josh Myers got better as the season unfolded, you also have to look at it and say, Tyler Biadasz got $10 million a year from Washington. Do we want to pay Josh Myers $10 million a year? That will be your floor as far as what you're going to do. I don't think they do. So when you look at it that way, what is the plan? How are you going to plan? And how are you going to approach this season, knowing you need depth, understanding Barton and some of these other interior guys you feel more comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a Hall of Fame player in your opinion, your staff's, your scouting department's opinion. Do you move him? My point yesterday was, I'm not moving Zach Tom. I'm moving Elgton Jenkins. If this is really the plan, I'm going to play this season out. Injuries are going to happen. And if something happens to Josh Myers, I am going into this season. Here's my five. Going to draft a kid. And then if something happens along the way, Elgton Jenkins is going to be my center. I am not going to plan for him to be an offensive tackle anymore. He is going to be my starting left guard. And if there needs to be a move made, Elgton Jenkins will be my center, not Zach Tom. That's my opinion.
And I spent a long time discussing this with Brian Bulaga on the Homer Hour, and he and I, as we often do, agree with the idea that I want my two best offensive linemen to tackle, period. And unless it gets to the point much later in Zach Tom's career where he has reduced mobility and athleticism, and you want to move him inside later, I don't want him moving. I want him playing a tackle. And frankly, if I'm moving Elgton Jenkins, it's not the right tackle because he, by his own admission, struggled there. But if I'm moving Elgton Jenkins, I'm moving him to left tackle.
No.
Why not? He played very well there in 2021, and they structured his contract under the guise that we might move him there, and mm-hmm. if we do, we're going to pay him more.
Yeah.
So why is that unreasonable?
All right, so right now when you look at it, It's not unreasonable, but I'm saying I think Elgton Jenkins has proven he's a really good center as well. And as you get older, he has now had, what, one ACL? He had an MCL last season.
He hasn't had an ACL, I don't think.
Didn't Elgton he Jenkins? Tear his ACL against the Vikings a couple years ago
he
and
did.
Have a
You're
long...
Right. Yes, I was wrong. Sorry. Continue. I'm a little off my game. Sorry.
Okay, so allegedly he tore his ACL.
No, he
and
did.
Allegedly
he
rehabbed
he did.
It. And anyways, when you start looking at it, he's now going into kind of that next stage of his career. He's either going to continue on. I don't think you're going to slide him out as he's getting into his next stage of his career. I think he is probably more excited to just stay status quo where he's at. Or if you're going to move forward, Elgton Jenkins would be a heck of a center. And Zach Tom is still very young. He has not had any injuries of note that he's missed a ton of time with. I think that I feel more comfortable with. And I think Elgton Jenkins would have that same, maybe not gold jacket type deal. Elgton Jenkins, I think, is still on a trajectory. I don't know where his all pros are because that's how they monitor that. He probably needs to ramp it up, and this team needs to win in order for him to get. He's had a couple of Pro Bowls, or at least one. I believe he's had an all pro.
And he's had an ACL.
So he is now at that point where if you're going to make a move, and I think we all agree Josh Myers is a one more year center, and then that's going to be it. You have to have your plan in place, and when you're going into the draft, that's when you start prepping, and that's why you see, oh, that's weird. They took A.J. Dillon in the second round. Or, oh, that's goofy. They grabbed this guy. Well, it's not by happenstance. It's because you're projecting that this guy's contract's coming up, this move is going to be made, and those dominoes fall the way that they do. Now, it's not how it always works, but that's why when you look at this draft class, and if there's an offensive tackle or a really athletic guy, which Green Bay doesn't draft guys that aren't athletic, It seems like they're going to plan for whom is going to take over, and it's either going to be Zach Tom or Elgton Jenkins.
So if they were to draft Barton, would that end this discussion and regardless
of... Not necessarily, because he's also a guard. Like Barton, I believe, has played all the positions, which is something Goody loves. They say he's not going to be long enough and whatnot to play tackle, but are you going to pay Sean Ryan? Are you going to, you know, what are you going to do at center? And are you just going to throw him in at center? Are you going to put Elgton or Zach Tom, who you feel great about? Those are your question marks. I just think we should probably keep our eyes on what they're going to do with old 7-4. I think there's going to be some interesting things as far as this thing keeps going.
All right, so last thing on this, put on your prediction hat, since I don't wear that very effectively. Will anything ever actually come of the idea of Zach Tom at center?
Yes, I think there's... I'm just telling you what I think.
I know. I'm asking you what you think will happen now.
Yeah, I think, obviously, when you hear things like that, and you've heard other people say it, and I believe Goody has said... That's his best position when he was drafted. That tells you a lot. So when you play the position as well as he's played out on the edge, it makes it much more difficult. And then your agent and everybody else is like, well, you make a lot more money if you stay out here and you keep playing.
Right.
But if they have that in line as far as this is what's going to be best for the team and we think you're going to be top-notch at this spot, that's when... You start wondering, well, how is this all going to shake out? Because I think you're going to have a hard time. If Zach Tom is feeling it, which he should be, playing right tackle, I don't think you want to move him. I don't care how good
I
you
agree.
Think he can be. You know what he is here. Now, I would feel fairly confident that he'd be a heck of a center, too. But I also feel very confident that Elgton Jenkins would be a heck of a center as well.
So the thing that I debated with Homer last night with help from Bulaga was this idea that, well, there's a couple people in the building that told Rob this about how good Zach Tom can be at center, that if someone was telling me I could be a Hall of Fame center, I would go play center, was Homer's point. And my point was, that's their opinion. That's like your opinion, man. That doesn't mean they're right. And if you're more comfortable, and you're going to get paid more, by playing tackle, that's what I would do. I appreciate the fact that they think I could be that good there. But if I have my druthers, and that's where I feel like I am at my best, and I know myself, I'm staying if I can. That was my point. And I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
What's unreasonable is to have leaky, creaky, squeaky windows that are letting the soon-to-be air conditioning out into the heat, and in the wintertime, letting the heat out into the cold. That's why Gina Della takes care of it.
You turn that ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand-new Pella windows and doors. The luxurious, sleek design, custom colors available. They are guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and to keep you comfortable. It's the best of both worlds. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home, it's never been easier than right now. You can get 0% interest for up to 36 months, or you have no down payment, no interest, and no payments at all for 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space. Make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Boy, Graham Barton really does fit the Packers suit, though, right? I mean, he played started five games at center his freshman year, but he played left tackle the rest of his time.
He is a Packer,
and you're
going to
move him.
And it feels like his RAS score, you know, I give the draft industrial complex community, you can do the acronym on that. The couple
draft
C's.
Industrial.
Very thick.
Complex community.
Whoa, Nelly!
The draft industrial complex community.
God. Whoa, Nelly!
Took me a minute.
Has done a very good job of identifying Goody traits, what Goody and his staff look at. Mm-hmm. And I actually think when you start looking at what names you've heard a ton of, I actually think the DICC... is going to be fairly accurate with their assessment. And Barton, if he's available, is going to be one of those guys. And I think, like you said, Jason, he is tailor-made because he's done it. He's played all the positions. And you want versatility. You want to be able to kind of mold. And then you see where these guys fit. And it's so crazy to me because I grew up in an era, it's like, oh, here's your spot. And then certain guys had to be versatile enough to be able to do it so they could dress. Now, Elton plays three positions. We're talking about Zach Tom, who just had a stellar second season. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move him to center. He could be a Hall of Famer. And it's just crazy. That's how Green Bay approaches that position. And that's a big reason why you see that development and growth and getting better and better is because they're getting the right athletes that can actually do the job, not, oh, that guy's a mauler. He's a mauler. Whenever you hear someone's a mauler, that means they have bad feet.
Mm-hmm. Last thing on this before we shift gears. Speaking of the way things have changed in this game, is it worth trading up to take a guy like Graham Barton in this era? Trading up, if he's not going to be there at 25, is it worth going up for an offensive lineman?
If you're going to get 8 to 10 years as a starter.
I think it is.
Well, depending on what you have to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But when have you ever heard, I went and traded a pick, and if that player was really good and gave you 10 years of great football play, when have you ever heard, boy, I can't believe we gave up that pick. Now, if he stinks, you could say,
sure,
what the hell are we doing? And that's the fun part of the NFL draft.
We'll talk more about this as the show rolls on. I do want to get to what Stephen A. Smith said. I am very interested in this, especially given the Dame Time theme that we have on this show. We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Start walking. Don't ever see it sober if I'm breathing.
see you sober if I'm breathing. Adrian Wojnarowski posting moments ago. Per ESPN sources, the Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round series against the Indiana Pacers, but are hopeful treatment of his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series.
That's good. So yeah. The nice part about these series, because there's so many series going on, they stretch.
Yeah.
They're long.
That's what JG said, yeah.
So that part is good. I think it's going to be a dog tussle regardless. I saw Windy on Get Up this morning.
Was he doing the thing that he does?
He did not do that, but him and Legler both. And not many people I go to for basketball knowledge outside of myself. Legler and Windy are two. And both thought, even with a fully loaded Giannis, it was a coin toss series. Without Giannis, neither of them think the Bucks can win.
Well, that's not positive.
It's not, but I like their honesty.
Yeah, they're great. No doubt. I've met Legler several times. He is fantastic, and he's very insightful. I am curious, though, what you make of someone else who talks a lot of basketball, besides you and besides Evan Cohen, and that's Stephen A. Smith.
Okay. He's covered the league for a long time.
We, as a group, got a text from our buddy Justin Garcia, the Bucks buddy of Wildy and Tausch fame, and also on the Bucks Radio Network, who had also seen this clip. Now, Jesse, I understand that yesterday, when we tried to play some audio, that there were some glitches. So when I say...
When Jesse's rocking the glasses, I feel like he's not fully engaged. I don't know why.
You feel like Jesse's not fully engaged?
When he's wearing the glasses. Yeah, it feels like, oh, I rolled out of bed. I didn't really get up moving. It just feels different when you're wearing the glasses.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think when I'm wearing the glasses,
you're more professional?
Yeah, we're more professional. Professorial.
We'll let our fans decide.
Professorial. Well, Professor, if you would be so kind as to play what Stephen A. Smith said so we can discuss it, that would be great.
If Milwaukee loses, I said, I think you need to consider moving Dame up out of there. Let me explain. I'm not talking about his game. He's not happy there. Now, he's got a lot of distractions, which are his business, and we wish him nothing but the best. Because a lot of us would not be able to handle it as well as he's handling it. But nevertheless, whatever support system that you're looking for, and I'm sure they got love for him and they try to support him or whatever, but it's one of those situations where if you are not happy in a situation, albeit because of outside reasons.
Right. He wanted to go to Miami.
And I know he wanted to go to Miami, too. Let's call it what it is. I mean, you got all of that going on. That's a lot to deal with.
Dame time. So, I still love that video. What do you think?
I'm concerned, and I think Stephen A. is right. He wanted to go to Miami.
Yep.
I think he reluctantly decided to come, and obviously the Milwaukee Bucks had to give up a bunch to get Dame here, and I'm excited about that. But Stephen A., for as provocative as he is.
He is provocative.
He's very well-researched, and he said something about Stephon Diggs not being happy, and everybody said, you're crazy. You ain't going anywhere. Boom. Stephon Diggs, deuces B. And I think Windy, they played this on Get Up this morning, and my guy Windy said, that's not the question. That's not what Bucks fans should be asking. It's, is old 3-4 going to be happy? If this thing goes and you now have two seasons where your first round exit,
oh boy,
is Giannis. Because we could say, well, Giannis signed, he's got a long-term deal. The NBA ain't about that. The NBA is about keeping your stars happy, and if they're not, you're going to trade them. And we don't have to like it. James Harden has found his way to get traded 50 times now.
Yes, he has.
And stars get to do what stars want to do. And it can be sometimes on a whim. You can kind of force the hand. But that's the question Windy had. And that's the question Bucks fans should be freaking out about. And are we insecure? Yeah. Because we all know if old 3-4 don't want to be here, this is going to be a total and upright reload, rebuild from the studs. So how this thing shakes out is going to be very important. The Dalla Dame piece of it, if that is how this shakes and you have to trade him for a bunch of picks and something else, we can live with that. Can't live with old 3-4 saying, this just ain't working. That's when things get freaky.
So I know that you know a lot about the NBA, as we've discussed many times. I don't know, was that trade something that Giannis really wanted, pushed for? Because if he, again,
you're very good friends with John Horst. I saw John when I was at the Bucks game.
I saw him in the hallway.
When you were sitting in David Gruber's seats.
Uh-huh.
Got a chance to spend some time with John Horst.
Oh, really?
I did. I asked him some college guys questions because I want to make sure I'm still as educated as I need to be.
NBA guy, yeah.
And I just don't think there's anything that's done around there without at least some type of glancing talk to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right. I agree. So my question is, if he was all in for this and really wanted it, and then it hasn't worked out, and Dame, look, Stephen A. Smith's not the first person that I've heard say that Damian Lillard does not seem happy in Milwaukee.
And he drove down to a Bulls game just to chill, to watch his former team. Most basketball guys during the grind of a season are more interested in just chilling. Now, you can go down to Chicago, you do some shopping, get a steak, do all that.
Sure, yeah.
To go and sit and watch a game on an off day when neither of your teams are playing, that sends some red flags for me, too.
So, and you heard Stephen A. Smith, he's dealing with some personal stuff as well, which I've heard. So, I'm not disappointed in his effort, or I don't know enough about him, but he does not exude, and he's a pretty reserved guy, it would appear. He does not exude I'm just so pleased as punch to be here. And if that factors in, I don't know.
One of the things we should all look at is this is a long season. The Bucks rode the wave. Dalla Dame is a playoff assassin. I can recall taking Portland to the conference finals, hitting logo threes to beat. I don't remember who they beat, but he beat him, and that's when he flashed up the old bop, 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 bop.
Sure.
And gutted him. So until this all plays out, I'm not really that concerned about it. But if it does play out the way some experts think, there are going to be some ripples.
Yeah.
You can't have
bigger
the payroll
than
that is going on and the all-in attitude that you've done, and this team is old. Dalla Dame's getting old. And the Bucks have no resources.
Clock's ticking, some might
The
say.
Bucks have no resources to do anything. All their draft picks are gone. They're up against it. So this is it. Dalla Dame needs to play big boy basketball when it comes to whenever they start Sunday night in Milwaukee.
We'll ask our buddy Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike about this coming up next. You heard Tausch mention that I did sit in David Gruber's seats at a game recently. He has been a great friend, and I hope I never have to have him in my life, anything beyond our friendship. But if there ever comes a time where someone that I care about or me are seriously injured in an accident, you know who I'm calling. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Go to gruber-law.com to find out more. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Cohen has worked a lot with Tim Legler. So maybe Evan Cohen can help talk us off the ledge about both Dame time and about the Bucks' chances in round one against the Pacers without Giannis, at least to start. according to Adrian Wojnarowski. You hear him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin and across ESPN Radio nationally, ESPN2, ESPNU, on Unsportsmanlike. It is Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
I was literally just with Legs 10 minutes ago. If I knew you wanted to talk to him, I would have just stayed there and put him on the phone. My bad.
Did you ever ask him if he remembered, like, meeting me when I was spending a lot of time in Maryland and he, like, the older brother of a girl I was dating was good friends with? Did you ever ask him about that?
Yeah, it never came up, Jason. Never found a way to work it into the conversation.
How would that come up? Evan, I'm Legs. Bring it up. Hey, Evan, Matt, Buck's going to have a tough battle tonight. All right,
well,
Matt,
not on the show.
All right, so am I doing it on air or off air in this scenario?
On air.
No.
Okay, off air. Off air is better.
Okay, so Legs, I got to ask you. Mm-hmm. So there's this guy in Wisconsin that I've worked with for 20 years. Professionally on the air, we're great. Off the air, he hates my guts. But okay. He dated a girl once in Maryland and ran into you and all this kind of stuff. Do you remember Jason Wilde?
Oh, yeah, real dorky dude. Had, like, a big earring in, right? He had an earring stuffed in.
It
was like
the earring,
looked
then.
Like it was infected. Or wore a bunch of Oregon stuff, right?
I'm not sure I started doing that either.
No, he wasn't Oregon at that time, I don't think. So, no.
Go Terps. Yeah. All right.
If I see him tomorrow, here's the deal. Jason, you're a great writer. Send me an email with a script. If I see him tomorrow, I will film, essentially, me
no.
after
yes.
him
no.
if he remembers you.
No.
I don't know if he's going to be in. Because how I've learned this works at ESPN is all the analysts are basically brought in based on the season and the time of year and the topics going on, right? So, like, I'm walking the hallways today. And my favorite ESPN analyst, Andrea Carter, is there. She's in for all the WNBA draft stuff.
She's killing it, by the way. Is she the breakout star? She's the breakout star of the whole Caitlin Clark deal, right?
For many people, not for me, because if you look back on NBA draft night in June, she was on the NBA draft coverage. And I got to be honest, I didn't know who she was then. And I tweeted how great I thought she was then in June of 23. Since then, she's realized I'm such an Uber fan. She comes on with us all the time. And the reason she came on with us today, you guys will be interested in this. And the main thing I talked to her about.
Oh, I know what you talked about, yeah.
Yeah, because Canty and Michelle did not know this. She's a snake owner for the last 11 years. She owns a snake.
Yeah.
That is her pet. She named it Nothing. If you check out her Twitter, you'll see her tweeting out pictures of a snake with my tweet on it. She's a huge snake owner.
So, Evan, did she start off with, it was the snake small, and it grew to this big snake that we saw on your Twitter feed? Or was it a big, normal-sized snake?
I don't think so, Josh. I think it was a full-size snake.
Okay.
Because she said, and I wish I could adopt this thought process, the snake, and I didn't know this, eats once a month.
Oh.
That's all the snake needs to eat is once a month.
Yeah, but she's got that snake, like, floating around. She's lying on a couch with it. Like, normally
exactly.
You keep it in, like, an aquarium. So the snake, let's say she goes on a six-day road trip. What is she
right.
doing? Is the snake just run around the house, like, whatever, do whatever they want?
No, that's a great question. We asked her that. She said the snakes are very self-sufficient, and they're able to maneuver within the cage or whatever it is, the tank that they're in. Now, she said, and I think she put out this picture at some point, she said at one point the tank broke. She had to put electrical tape on the tank. She comes back from, like, you know, doing games or whatever she was doing, and the snake had all this electrical tape on the snake.
Mm.
And all of this, ironically, stemmed from our producer saying that he's a single guy. He wanted to buy a cat. And Michelle said that's kind of a turnoff for people if you're a single guy with a cat. That, you know, people may not be that interested, that dog owners are more, you know, people, you know, engage in more conversation than cat owners. She's saying in general conversation, not from a dating perspective. Like, the single person who walks around with a dog, people are going to talk to that person. The cat, people find a little weird.
Yeah, I feel like Michelle said that's a deal breaker for her. If she's out and it's a dude with a cat and it's just those two, there, she's out, right? And isn't that kind of the premise?
I believe she said that, so then it led to what's more of a red flag, the cat owner or the snake owner To which she said, the snake owner, and obviously, of course, then you got to bring Andrea Carter into the fender.
I don't know. Let's say you meet your future wife, and you find out after you're dating for a month that she's got a snake. That's not going to be a, that's not going to kill. Is that killing your vibe?
No, but I got to be honest, and Jason, I know, I believe you have pets. If my wife, I learn after a month, has cats all over her house,
that's
or apartment
that's
or whatever,
troubling.
I'm probably out.
But a snake, you're fine.
Oddly enough, I go to the same place you go to, Tosh. I don't know why that's not a deal breaker for me, but I don't think it would.
I'm kind of intrigued. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of intrigued. You got a snake. That means you have a lot of courage. I do wonder if you're gone, do you leave the housekeeper, if you have a housekeeper or someone checking on the plants? You better make sure they know that there's a snake just slithering around the house.
Another good one. By the way, I said to Andrea this morning, I said, so let's say you're having friends over for like a dinner party. Do you have to give the warning about the snake?
You would think.
She said, yes, all of my close friends know, but if it's somebody that I'm not as close with, I do let them know, but I also keep the snake locked in the cage in the room so nobody has to worry about the snake.
What does she do when it comes to dating? Like when she's, dating?
I don't know her well enough to go there.
Oh,
that
would be...
ask that question.
When do you bring that snake into the equation is the question.
Yeah, that's not going to be a question I ask her. Got to be honest.
Well, you guys are getting... How far into your guys' relationship can you ask her that question?
She's more likely to ask about...
Well, but you've had her on the show a bunch. You are her biggest cheerleader. At some point, you can ask that, no?
I don't think I'm there yet. I got to be honest. Okay. We have to have a meal, right? I had a big meal last week with Hembo from Greeny to solidify our friendship.
Yep.
You got to have the meal. You got to, like, hypothetically, if two people are at, I don't know, a Bucks game, like, you have to get together with those people to really solidify the friendship, right?
Okay.
And so, now, she did say to me, said, if you're ever in Atlanta, you can meet Nothing, because that's the name. The name of her snake is Nothing.
Yes,
that's fascinating.
I thought it would have been Damien because of Jake the Snake Roberts, but it was not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lots to unpack there.
Did that go the way you thought it would go, Jason, on whatever question you asked getting us there?
The conversation about Tim Legler's friendship with Curtis Bocut will have to wait. because the snake's name is Nothing. You mentioned your Hembo dinner. I was going to ask you about coffee creamer because I'm fascinated by that. We haven't even gotten to the box. Tweeting you like I can we do you have time? I know you've been filling in for Greeny a bunch. Do you have more time? Can we come back for more?
Of course. Right, with more, that tease, Coffee Mate, Coffee Creamer. You had me at hello.
More Evan Cohen next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you. Tonight the winds
of change are blowing wild. Continuing with Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and I do want to get to what Stephen A. Smith said about the Bucks and Dame. Because just like Tausch, Evan is an NBA expert. But to let everyone in who didn't see the segment, Evan, tell us a little bit about how you take your coffee.
Okay, so this has been an ongoing theme since I started at ESPN, but it just made its way to the air over the last week or so. So I love coffee in the morning, like many people, as some people in and around Madison or Milwaukee may know from my experiences around them going to the University of Madison, Wisconsin-Madison. I like McDonald's coffee, love McDonald's coffee. And I always have with me wherever I go, or buy it with me wherever I go, fat-free Coffee Mate, either French vanilla or hazelnut. And I'm probably equal in terms of the taste of coffee to Coffee Mate ratio. I'm a 50-50 guy. I'm not 80-20 in favor of coffee. A lot of people don't have any kind of milk or creamer in their coffee. Well, I've been at ESPN for about 7-plus months now, and my teammates there are starting to notice early in the morning when I get coffee how much of the Coffee Mate I actually put in it. They are now comfortable enough around me to come clean and tell me they're disgusted by my 50-50 ratio. So then last week, as I'm filling in for Greeny, Hembo, who was a part of Greeny's show every day, was fully disgusted to a point that he actually did a taste test on the air, almost spit it out, but mind you, he didn't have coffee. He just had the coffee mate, which is not made to drink raw without the
correct. Coffee. As someone, again, I know this alarms you frequently when this kind of stuff happens, but yet another example how you and I are similar in some ways, that I am the same way with coffee. So I am in full support of you.
And you're a 50-50 guy.
Yeah, way too much, for most people, way too much creamer to coffee ratio. Should not be that close. I think Tausch would tell you that. I think most people would ridicule me as much as they ridicule you. I did think it was unfair that he did the taste test without any coffee in it.
I agree. That was not a proper way of doing that at all, in any way, shape, or form. At all. That was ridiculous the way he did it.
All right, speaking of ridiculous, you mortgage your future to acquire one of the all-time great players because you're going to make a title run. And just to recap the way the season has gone in Milwaukee, they fired their inexperienced first-time head coach. They had an interim coach briefly. They brought in Doc Rivers. They have had a sub-500 record during that time. They are now in the number 3 seed facing the Indiana Pacers. They don't have Giannis, at least to start the series, per Adrian Wojnarowski. And if they lose in the first round again, there are rumblings that they will move on from Damian Lillard, based on what Stephen A. Smith said. Could this have gone much worse if this continues down this path for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Jason, here's the weird part about all of this. I think so many of the decisions they made, every one of the Wildy and Tausch fans listening right now would have made the exact same decision. Mm-hmm. At the time that they moved on from Mike Budenholzer, I believe that most of the Wildy and Tausch fans would say, yep, makes sense. I don't believe they would have said hire Adrian Griffin, okay? I believe that every single one of them, when presented the opportunity to trade for Dame Lillard, despite the love and admiration, rightfully so, for Jrue Holiday, every single one of them would have done that. And if I told you you could have Doc Rivers coaching this team and not Adrian Griffin, every single one of them would have made that move. Mm-hmm. So the Milwaukee Bucks made a lot of moves that most of us would make. It has not worked out the way in which you had hoped it would work out. I think there is going to be real conversation, fair or not, over the next 24 hours, asking the simple question, has Giannis played his last game in a Bucks uniform? Oh, I think the answer is no, for two reasons. One, I do believe he'll find his way back in this series. And two, because I don't believe he's going to ask out after the season. I have said all year long, and Tausch can back me up on this, I said all year long, if this doesn't work, I could see this being a healthy breakup between Dame and the Bucks after the season. Literally a face-to-face meeting between management and Dame saying, we tried. Mm-hmm. We all tried. No hard feelings. Let's just see what else is out there because maybe it makes sense for all parties involved. Do I think they're going to win a championship this year? No. Would I write them off just yet? Ready to do that despite every sign pointing in that direction of writing them off.
So do you think that if that is how it shakes out, that Dame, what can the Bucks get a good haul back if that is the case for Dame?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I was on the trade machine, of course, last night looking at this, and I started thinking about if you're going to move off of Dame and you're going to trade him, what are you going to try to get in return? And the answer to what you're going to try to get in return is Jrue Holiday. That's not going to happen, obviously. So where is a Jrue Holiday clone-ish? Well, Memphis, Marcus Smart. Problem with that is Memphis is not going to want Dame Lillard when they have John Morant. Who would want Dame Lillard? Same team that wanted him last summer, Miami. Would Miami and Milwaukee make a trade straight up? I don't believe so at this point. I think they're too competitive with one another, and I'm not sure Miami has what Milwaukee needs. But Memphis may. Another team out there may. A team like, you know, Oklahoma City, if they make moves after the season, a guy like Lu Dort. I don't want to get too inside basketball here, but you need to basically look for defenders around Giannis, right? I think that's kind of what we're looking at. I would not get rid of Chris Middleton. They may consider that if he's healthy. I still think he's a perfect co-star to Giannis. I think that the Dame thing was a great try. At this point, it doesn't look like it's going to work out. And I think after the season, they're going to have to strongly consider making a move with Dame. Now, I also think that many teams, even at this age and this price, would have extreme interest in Brook Lopez, right? I mean, I would take him on my team if there was something left there. But this is not where we anticipated this would go with this team this year. And I'll give you one other thing. This is now the second straight year Giannis Antetokounmpo will miss games in the playoffs because of injury. I'm not suggesting he's injury prone. He plays so hard. We know that. But if we're going to do this to other players about missing games in the playoffs, and maybe there have been other years he missed games in the playoffs, I don't know. I know it's freakish, I guess pun intended. I know it's bad luck to get hurt. But again, he missed games against Miami last year, and now he's going to miss games against Indiana this year.
And he missed games during their run to the title.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you got to say, like, Giannis gets banged up this time of year. I know everyone does, but he misses games this time of year.
So, Evan, before we let you go, Wendy on Get Up this morning said it's not about Dame. Like, what you said could easily happen, and I don't think Bucks fans will be devastated, but he said it's about Giannis. And I think for all of us, it's, well, Giannis has a four. He signed a long-term extension, blah, blah, blah.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah,
irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying. That my question was, if Giannis does, in fact, say, you know what, man, it just ain't working, the Bucks have no choice, right?
So here's the question on that, and I understand. I mean, listen, Wendy knows this better than anybody. He is unbelievable. Like, if I'm the Bucks and Giannis comes to me and says it just didn't work, what am I going to, if I'm going to be truthful with him in return, my response is, yeah, I know, you shouldn't have made all the moves you made.
That probably doesn't go over like, well, though.
No, but Taos, you're not actually going to say that, right? But who wanted Budenholzer out?
Giannis.
Who wanted Dame in?
Giannis.
Who wanted Griffin in?
Giannis.
Who wanted Griffin
Giannis.
Out? Who wanted Doc
Giannis.
In? What are we talking Giannis. About exactly?
Giannis.
I mean, that, so...
Who wanted Thanasis? Giannis.
Well, that's been a good thing. I mean, Thanasis is wonderful. The content that's been
created. That's been a fantastic show, no question.
It has been, yeah. Indeed. Evan, thanks for sticking around a little extra for us. Enjoy your coffee, mate.
Thank you, guys.
That is Evan Cohen. You can
that
hear him.
That was a depressing deal there at the end. And I don't think Evan said the same thing. You believe Giannis will be back. Bah, bah, bah. But two first round. This series, I don't think you can stress the importance of this series against the Indiana Pacers. Because even if you can find a way, and then even if the New York Knicks beat you, you can at least say, well, it just wasn't our year. You can at least kind of coalesce around that. You're still going to be uber disappointed. But if you lose in the first round again, that's when panic strikes. And you don't want to be operating out of a position of panic. And that's what the Bucks will be doing.
We will shift gears away from the Bucks, despite Tausch's extensive knowledge of the NBA, along with Tim Legler and Wendy and Evan Cohen and Stephen A. Smith. We'll get back to what we usually serve at the Wildy and Tausch restaurant, which is Packers talk. But speaking of the Bucks and speaking of Thanalysis, you can tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. You can take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. So find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast, Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.